Very good. Let's pray together. Our Father, we are thankful for our Lord Jesus. We are thankful for saving sinners. Tonight, as we consider our audience, we think of those who have come to know our Lord Jesus as Savior, and we're thankful for this. But Father, we also know there are those who have never yet trusted Christ and they are lost. But we are thankful that they could be saved tonight. We're thankful that because of the cross and because of the resurrection, that salvation is offered to all. And tonight there's no exception. All have sinned. There's also no exception. Christ died for sinners. And we're thankful tonight that we can preach this message. We pray for them in Burnaby as they preach out there in La Crosse, Wisconsin. We think, Father, also of them down in Summerside as they're preaching the gospel. We think of them over there in English Point as they're having the wake tonight for our sister Rita. We pray for her family and those who've been touched by her life that they will give a special ear to the gospel at this time. We ask you to bless us now with power. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, if you have your Bible with you, you can turn it to Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. That is Luke chapter 15, verse 1. We will put the scripture on the screen behind us. So if you're having trouble finding it in your Bible, you can read it as we go along. These are the same words that we read last night to close our gospel meeting in Luke chapter 15, verse 1. Then drew near unto him. Now him is the Lord Jesus. Then drew near unto the Lord Jesus all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Verse 8. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends, and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. I think I'd like to focus on verses 4 to 7 for the first few minutes of my message. And then we'll look at verses 8 to 10 at the end of my message. Last night, we read this same passage. This is really the beginning of one parable. The Lord Jesus told this one parable in three different parts. He highlighted the lost sheep in the first part of the parable, a lost coin in the second part of the parable, and a lost son in the third part of the same story. Now, we mentioned last night that a parable is a story about things on earth, a story about things that we can see, a story about things that we can hear, a story that is from the earth, but it has a meaning from heaven. So we defined it as an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So what we read together is a way that the Lord Jesus used to teach us about spiritual truth by using physical things. Now, to be clear, the sheep that is lost is a picture of sinners who are lost. And the coin that is lost is a picture of sinners who are lost. And the son that is lost is a picture of sinners who are lost. In the first part of the parable, we have a shepherd, and he goes after the sheep. That's a picture now, not of sinners, of course, but the shepherd is a picture of the Savior, the Lord Jesus, who goes after lost sinners to rescue them. This woman who goes searching for the coin, she's a picture of the Spirit of God, who goes searching for lost sinners. And the Father, in the last part of the parable, is a picture of God the Father himself, waiting to show grace and mercy the moment a sinner comes to him. Those of you who were with us last night will remember we highlighted two different phrases. We highlighted this phrase, which is lost. And then we came down a little further. It's in a different place tonight, but here it is. It says, which was lost. And we focus just for a few minutes on the simplicity of those two phrases. And we said it this way. In our meeting tonight, you are either in one of these groups or the other. You are either a sheep that was lost, now you're found. Or you're a sheep that is lost. Now, I'm going to give you a little time to think about it, but I want you to really consider it. When it comes to this business that we've been preaching about being saved, it's not like a person can say, well, you're just saved or you're unsaved. In fact, that's absolutely unscriptural language. Because you can't be unsaved after you're saved. Once you are saved, you are saved for eternity. Thank the Lord for that. The Bible says it. But sometimes we get mixed up with this kind of language too. We talk about being saved or not saved. And we see it as just something that's in the idea of religious wording. Really what the Bible talks about is a person who is saved or a person who is lost. And tonight, you're either saved or you are lost. And the beautiful thing about the scriptures is that it's absolutely clear. If you are saved, then you were lost. But that's not what we're going to focus on tonight. What I want to talk about just for a second is this word right here. Repent. You find it here, you find it here, and you're going to find it in verses 8 through 10 as well. Because something happens in the life of a sinner where they go from being lost to being saved, where they go from being dead to being alive, where they go from going down to going up. And that which happens in that moment of time involves this word, repent. Repent. Now we read about the sheep. And what happened to the sheep? The sheep was rescued, right? The sheep was rescued by someone who came right to where the sheep was and removed the sheep from the danger and placed it in a place of safety, right? Removed it from the danger and brought it back to where it was absolutely safe. Now, when we talk about being saved, we are talking about lost sinners who are lost in sin, who are removed or rescued from the danger of sin and put in a place of safety. And we say that the person who rescues them is the Savior, the Lord Jesus, right? So let's make no mistake. When it comes to being saved, it is the work of the Savior who rescues. But I want you to think about this sheep now. This may sound silly, but I want you to think about it. Let's pretend like we're the sheep. And we thought everything was okay, but it wasn't. And we took another step away from the shepherd, thinking everything will be okay, but it wasn't. Until finally we fall into a place where we are trapped and we are lost. And I have no doubt that this sheep would be crying out for some kind of help. Now the sheep can't speak, but he can make a noise, right? Making a noise to attract attention so someone will hear and come and rescue him. Now I ask you tonight, have you ever talk to God and asked him to save you? Sometimes we talk to sinners and they talk to us and tell us all that's on their mind. That's good. I'm glad people feel comfortable with us like that. Sometimes a person will ask us all kinds of questions. I'm glad people feel comfortable to ask us questions, and hopefully we can tell them the truth from the Bible. But did you ever talk to God? Did you ever cry to God for salvation? Well, I'll tell you this. While that sheep was lost, there was someone looking for it. While that sheep was lost, the person looking for it came and sacrificed to remove it from danger. But think about this now. Here's where it gets a little bit silly for you. What about if the shepherd came right to where the sheep was and he went to pick it up and the sheep said, "No, leave me alone." We know sheep can't talk, but what if the sheep said, "No, leave me alone"? And the shepherd said, "But you're lost." And the sheep would say, "I know, but I don't want to be saved." Can you imagine? Can you imagine a sheep actually being so bold as to tell the shepherd, "I know I'm lost, but I don't want to be saved right now. I like being in this hole, caught in the thorns, all wet and lost." Now that sounds even more silly, doesn't it? You would think that when the Savior comes and reaches out to try and rescue that sheep, that sheep would only be too happy to let the Savior save him. But what if I told you that the Lord Jesus has been trying to save you for years? And you said no. And it's not like you don't want to ever be saved. It's just that right now you feel a little bit comfortable in that hole, caught in your sin and lost. You see what needs to happen for the Savior to save you? You need to let him. And what needs to happen for the Savior to save you is you need to change your mind about that lost condition. You know what you need to do? You need to repent. Now, repentance is not something that you do so that you can check off a list so that God will save you. Repentance actually involves a change. That's the key word, a change. It is a change of mind. It is a change in how you think, but it is a change in direction. Now, I want to tell you, perhaps just based on this little illustration now. If I'm going this way, and it's the wrong way, and somebody tells me, you're going the wrong way, you know what I usually do? I usually ignore them. Do you ever see someone driving in a car and they're going the wrong way and someone in the car says, you're going the wrong way? Well, we don't like to admit that, do we? So we keep going a little further, right? A little further and a little further. At some point in that journey, we have to admit, I am wrong, and turn. Now, if we don't admit I am wrong and turn, we'll get the chart up for a second there, Mark, in a couple of minutes. But if I don't admit that I am wrong and turn, then I'm going to keep going the wrong way forever, right? But the moment that I admit I am wrong, oh, it takes a lot of, you got to swallow your pride. I am wrong and God is right. And you turn and go the other direction. That confession that you are wrong and a change in your mind about your sin and about God, that is repentance. Now, I want you to think about it in these terms. Whether or not you admit it, you're going the wrong way. Now, some people continue to go to the wrong way even when they're warned. Going the wrong way, going the wrong way, going the wrong way. Now, if you keep going that way, you're going to end up in a place you don't want to be, right? In hell. But if you tonight were to admit, I am wrong, and turn, you know what you would find? The Savior can save you. And He would save you. Now we'll go back to that verse that we were looking at. You know what happens? The moment that a person turns from sin and turns to Christ in repentance, God does the work of saving them. Really is a remarkable thing, isn't it? But now we'll look at verses 8 through 10 and see how this woman is looking for a lost coin. Now, sheep are not the smartest animals on earth, right? I'm not trying to belittle sheep, but I'm quite sure you couldn't train a sheep to do what you can train a dog to do. Maybe you can. If I'm wrong, let me know. But sheep are not really interested in learning, right? But I'll tell you this. When a sheep gets in danger, he knows there's something wrong, right? There's something wrong. But you can't say the same thing about a coin, can you? You can't say the same thing about this lost piece of silver, right? This lost coin doesn't know it's lost. And we tried to mention that last night in passing, is that whenever the Bible says we are lost, it doesn't mean that you have to feel that you are lost. It means you are lost. When the Bible says that we are lost in sin, it doesn't mean that we have to realize that we are lost. It means you are lost. And this coin was somewhere in the house, and it was lost. And it didn't know it. Now, if that's an earthly story for us that has a heavenly meaning, then what is the heavenly meaning? The coin was lost. Was it lost? You say, yeah, absolutely it was lost. The Bible tells us it was lost. Did it feel lost? No. Did it know it was lost? No. It was lost. Now we think about sinners. Before I was found, before I was saved, I was lost. Now, if I felt lost, did it make me any more lost? No. I was lost. What if I was having a good day and I thought I was doing good things and I thought that I was getting closer to God and I felt like I was making progress? Does that mean I wasn't lost? No. I was lost. Whether I felt lost, whether I knew I was lost, whether I could admit I was lost, I was lost. But you know the beautiful thing about verses 8 to 10 is that there's someone who's looking for the lost coin. Someone who is looking and searching for the lost. Now, with the last 3 minutes of my message, I want to tell you this. God is searching for you. In our world tonight, the Spirit of God is shining a light. Now this woman, she takes a candle and she begins to sweep the entire house. Now this candle is a picture for us. The woman is a picture of the Spirit of God searching. The candle is a picture of the Word of God shining a light. Shining a light. So that in our world, in every part of our world where the gospel is preached, God is shining a light. And it used to be that people said that in the dark jungles and in this part of the African continent and in that part of South America, in the darkness, the light is being shown. There is no place as dark as Prince Edward Island. People who won't come to the light. The whole world is dark when it comes to sin. And God is shining a light that is searching every corner of the earth. Why? Trying to find that lost sinner. But the Spirit of God is not just shining a light in the corners of the earth. The Spirit of God is shining a light directly in your heart. Now, when you listen to the gospel, I want you to be honest with yourself. You don't answer me, that's fine. Do you ever feel like maybe the preacher knows too much about you? Oh, he's talking about that. How does he know what I'm thinking? How does that preacher know what I've done? How does that preacher know that I'm interested? How does that preacher know that I feel guilty? How does the preacher doesn't know much, but the Spirit of God knows everything. And the Spirit of God is what's actually applying the Word of God to your conscience. So that when you feel awkward and maybe a little bit like things are getting too close, you know what that is? The light. That's the light shining. Now, I'm going to take another minute, David, if you don't mind. You think about it now. What if the light was shining right on that coin and the coin somehow could run away? Say another silly thing that the preacher's saying. Yeah, but that's what sinners try and do. Right? When God speaks, when the light shines, when it's coming a little too close, rather than come to the light, they run from the light. You know what would happen tonight if you were to admit, I am wrong, and turn and trust Christ? You know what would happen? You'd be found. Why? Because this light always does its job. It always does. My encouragement to you tonight is this. Think about the lost sheep and let the Savior save you. Think about the lost coin and don't run from the light.